Good afternoon, everybody. Well, what I'm going to do is I will present you a topic on parallel computing. Well, let's maybe... Okay, there it is. First couple of things about me, and then we'll jump in it right away. So, well, David introduced me already a little bit. I'm Nick van Anabele, trainer at U2U, which is a training company in Belgium, in Brussels. Yeah, and well, if you want to contact me, yeah, my email address nick@utu.be. If you want to browse to my blog, you can find it at blogs.utu.be/nick. So what are we going to do this afternoon? We're going to have a look at parallel computing. Yeah, why is this such an interesting topic? Well, simply because look at today's evolution on processors. If you look at the evolution, we are now nearly up to 3 gigahertz speed. I don't think there is going to be much changes anymore in that area anymore. Yeah, the evolution will bring us multiple cores. Today already have dual cores, quad cores, 16 core machines. But it won't take long before we are in the area of 32, 64, or even hundreds of cores. Now the big challenge for you as a developer is, of course, how do you support this? How do you make sure that your application actually runs fluently on a multi-core machine and takes advantage of it? Yeah. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to look at some small mathematical application. Yeah. Start single-threaded. Yeah. See how it behaves. And we're going to apply current knowledge on threading to see what we can do by the current things what threading gives us. And then we will have a look at .NET 4. With tasks and any parallel stuff to see how we can even improve that a bit more. Now, before I jump into that, let's maybe just think about for a minute what you have today threading related. When do you use threading in your application? Well, I think you use threading for a couple of reasons. Like, for example, you call services. You call a web service or whatever, which means that you call something on a server. There is some time in between before you get an answer. So what you do, you wait for an event. That event will be arranged on a separate thread. Yeah, so you don't block your application. Yeah, your UI continues. Yeah, and meanwhile, a separate thread handles the incoming request. Or for example, you do serial communication or parallel communication, or you talk to any USB device. I think you know all that when you talk to devices, you send some data over the wire, the device answers, and you will receive multiple pieces of data. Well, the way on how to handle that in a good way is use threading, of course. Other things where we can think about is, typically you write yourself a user interface application, whether it's Windows Forms or WPF. Yeah, you build your application, it handles events. What do you do when you have big calculations, when things need to be run in the background, and you don't want your application to freeze in between? Well, what do? You use threads. Well, that's exactly the starting point that we are going to take, and then we see on how we can improve into that. I'm going to start first with a Microsoft slide, which is one that they announced at the PDC last year, what do they bring parallel computing related? Well, if you look at this slide, it says the technologies in Visual Studio 2010 are the first wave of a long-term commitment Microsoft has made to help developers build parallel applications. Well, you should actually take this as it says. It's a first wave of a long-term commitment, meaning that, well, Microsoft created something for you, which has parallel extensions, which you can start using from Visual Studio 2010. And of course, you will see many, many things changing in the couple of years. But they will, of course, be backwards compatible. They will support new things. So if you look at what's inside, we have an unmanaged world. We have a managed world that exists already for a long time. So both the managed and the unmanaged world have task related stuff in there. So unmanaged, that's what we're not going to deal today, but I just want to mention it. You find in there the parallel pattern library, with some agents in there and a concurrency runtime which is going to handle everything. What we are going to look at today is the managed world. Yeah, in the managed world, you will find the parallel extensions. Yeah, and in the parallel extensions, yeah, you will find out that you can do parallel computing by either using link. You have a parallel link version. You can create tasks by means of the task parallel library. Yeah, or you can use those constructs like parallel.for or parallel.forEach. What Microsoft also provides you is some coordination data structures which actually help you to even optimize your parallel code even more. Now, what I'm going to do with you is we're going to look at an application and see how we can optimize a couple of things in there. So what I did built already is actually a console application, yeah. And while we're going to do some really mathematical stuff in there, what I prepared for you is an application which is going to calculate prime numbers. Yeah. So if you look at it, yeah, I have in here a method isPrime, yeah, which is doing nothing more than checking whether an integer value is a prime, yes or no. Yeah. So in a pure sense, it's doing nothing more than some small for loop which goes from 2 till the square root of your number, yeah, and checks by making a division whether yeah, we have a remaining part, yeah, or not. Yeah. So if the remaining part of the division by I is equal to 0, yeah, for one of the numbers in that range, yeah, the number is definitely not a prime number. If it's not, yeah, then we have a prime number. Yeah. So I'm going to actually use this function a couple of times, yeah, in a scenario to actually calculate prime numbers, yeah, from 2 till 4 million. Yeah. If you write this piece of software, yeah, and you don't think of threading at all, yeah, I think you're going to write this piece of code, yeah, which is, yeah, you have a for loop, you check within the for loop whether the number is a prime, yeah, and you just store your number somewhere, for example, in generic list of integers. Now, two important things in this small little method, yeah, I have in here a for loop which checks is prime, plus I'm going to actually add all the prime numbers into a generic list. Yeah. Now, this is a thing that we have to keep in mind for the rest of the demo, yeah, because if we optimize, these elements need to be there all the time. Yeah. So what did I do? Yeah. I started here in my console application. Yeah. You currently look at my main method, and you will see that while I'm using a stopwatch to actually check how long things take, yeah, I'm calling the calc prime method, and then we just see how many prime numbers we have and how much time it takes. So let's run it, and let's first have a look at what this gives us as a result. So if I just execute this calc primes, yeah, we see that we have, well, let's say about 300,000 prime numbers. Yeah. The time that it took was, let's say, 2.7 seconds. Yeah. I'm going to run it again, and I'm going to, in the meanwhile, show you as well my CPU usage. Yeah. Because actually, I want to see how much percent of my CPU it actually takes. Yeah. You should see, by the way, that my machine is a dual-core machine, so I can actually take advantage of two CPUs, which my current program is not going to do because I do everything sequentially. Yeah. Let's try to run it. Calc primes. We see CPU, well, it peaked a little bit up to 70%. Well, I guess the average was more something 50%, which is normal, yeah, because I do the calculation on one thread, which means I can only use one of those two CPUs. Yeah. Now, what we're going to think about now is how can we optimize this? And before even thinking about parallel computing, yeah, let's use our current knowledge on multi-threading. If you think about threading and we want to optimize, yeah, what I could do is, for example, something like this. I created in here a method, calcprimes, which is going to do the same calculation. Yeah, so it's going to calculate from 2 till 4 million. But yeah, I'm going to try to do this on multiple threads. And I take an assumption in here. The assumption that I'm going to take is, well, if you look at my machine, it has two CPUs. So probably, most probably, two threads will be an optimal situation. Yeah. So in order to achieve that, yeah, I have in here a thread which is going to do the calculation from 2 till 2 million. And I have a thread, thread 2, which is going to take it from 2 million and 1 to 4 million. I'm going to just start those two threads, so T1.start and T2.start. We're going to wait until both threads are finished. So you do that by blocking call T1.join and a blocking call T2.join. And then at the end, I want to show primes.count, which is, yeah, how many prime numbers we have found. Before I'm even going to run this, yeah, let's maybe look a little bit closer at this application. You see immediately that, well, running things on multiple threads means that if you want to store the results in, for example, something like a generic list of integers, yeah, that you have to apply locking on this generic list. I can't afford to just add from two threads at the same time to the same list. Yeah? So yeah, that's maybe some extra performance penalty that I take. Yeah, but I do have to do this because I'm working with multiple threads. Another thing that I want to show you in this code is, well, I took actually an easy approach in here. Yeah? If you look at how do you create threads, well, you obviously do that by creating yourself a thread class. Yeah? So I say in here, new thread. Yeah? And the way that I initialize my thread is, well, you can either take the parameterized thread start delegate, or you can use the thread start delegate. Yeah? Now, I took the parameterized thread start delegate, so if you want to have a look at how it looks like, I will just take it, go to definition and show you what it is. Yeah. This is nothing more than a delegate which takes an object as an input parameter and it returns void. Yeah. Now, how do you implement such a thing? Well, you can choose. Yeah. You can make yourself a method that takes the same signature as a delegate, assign that method to the thread. Yeah. Or you can work with anonymous methods and you just use the delegate keyword. Or you can just do like I did in here and use a lambda expression. Now, why did I use a lambda expression in here? Well, two reasons. Yeah. The first reason is actually, yeah, it's clear code. Yeah. You see in here, this is my input. Yeah. This is the body of my lambda expression. But that's not the most important reason, actually. The most important reason is, yeah, at the end, I want to have a generic list of integers which contains all the prime numbers. Yeah. If I use lambda expressions, what I can do is I can, inside my lambda expression, use any variable which is in scope with the lambda expression itself. Yeah. Since my primes variable, which is a generic list, is in scope with my lambda expression, I can just write to it, yeah, if I, of course, make some locking around it. Yeah. So now that we know how the program works, yeah, let's run it and let's see what the difference is with the original calc primes, which was done sequentially. So I'm going to switch back to program.cs and yeah, let's open up this multi-threading section and I'm going to switch my console.readline and put it right under the multi-threading part. Yeah. So I'm going to execute two things. Yeah. We'll do the calc primes again. Yeah. And we'll do the one that runs on two separate threads. So let's run it, F5. So the first one, we knew it already, yeah? It takes 2.6 seconds. If I look at the second one, well, I have an improvement, yeah? I'm going to go to 1.7 seconds, yeah? Let's maybe also have a look at what the processor is currently doing. I'm going to show my task manager again. Wait a bit, so that we don't have any activity anymore. Yep, there it is. So let's run the program. That was 50% for the first one. And you see that during the second calculation, my CPU is getting higher. Yeah. I could say it's nearly 100%, yeah, but I think there is still room for improvement. Yeah. And of course there is room for improvement because otherwise I wouldn't do this presentation on parallel tasks, of course. So let's have a look now at what can we do next. Let me first switch back to my presentation. Okay. We're actually going to look at parallel computing.
Yeah.
Microsoft introduced that in a new namespace called system.trailing.parallel. What do you find in there? Well, you find actually three things. You find the basic implementation for tasks, meaning that you can yourself create tasks. Yeah. You can run tasks. Yeah. And these tasks will actually be executed by the task scheduler. Yeah. You can use the parallel static class, yeah, which has methods like parallel for each, yeah, or you can base your implementation on peeling. Yeah. Now, let's maybe first look at some diagram that I have in here and compare actually parallel for together with the thread pool. Yeah. Well, if you look at performance, you will see that, well, if I only have one processor, yeah, whether that I use these parallel extensions or whether that I base myself on the thread pool, yeah, there is not that much difference. Yeah. By the way, I don't think I have explained that much yet on thread pool, yeah, so I will maybe first switch again. Content. Yep, there we're back again. Yeah. So, well, a couple of things on thread pool. If we take this code back again, yeah, I didn't use the thread pool. I created threads myself, yeah, which gave me the opportunity to actually decide how many threads that I wanted to use. I took two because I thought, yeah, two is a good number because I have two CPUs in there. Yeah. Now, this was just a wild guess. Another thing that I could have done was actually run my code on a thread coming from the thread pool. Yeah. How do you do that? Well, you have two options. Yeah. First option would have been, yeah, create yourself a delegate. Yeah. I could have created myself a delegate that looks a little bit like this. Let's say delegate void. I'm calling it calculation. Calculation. And it takes, for example, int start number and int stop. Yeah. And we assume that this is a delegate that we need to initialize by a method that calculates the primes from start to stop. Well, it calculates it, so it should definitely return something. Let's take as the return a list of integers, which is the prime numbers that exist in between start and stop. Yeah. If you would take this as a delegate, what you could do is make yourself a method for the calculation, yeah, and then just initialize your delegate, yeah, calculation delegate, point to a method. Yeah, I'm not going to do that right away, but what you could do is then, yeah, execute your delegate by calling the begin invoke on it. Yeah. What begin invoke is doing, yeah, is it takes a thread from the thread pool, it's going to execute your code on that thread, yeah, and then you will be able to get the result back. You will be able to get the result back by means of a callback scenario. Then you have to implement a method where you're going to receive a callback. Yeah, or you can apply polling mechanisms. Yeah. So that's definitely the first thing that you can do on the thread pool. Now, if I take this as an approach, yeah, I'm just using a thread. Yeah. I cannot really influence how many threads. Yeah. What I could do, of course, is split my calculation in between multiple starts and stops. Yeah. But then again, how many threads are you going to take? Yeah. Another approach that you could take with a thread pool is, well, instead of using a delegate, yeah, you can go for thread pool dot queue user work item. Provide by means of a wait callback a method which needs to be executed and receive a result. Yeah. Now, this could be an ID to just queue a lot of work items. Yeah. But again, what this thing is doing is for each work item, yeah, it's taking a thread from the thread pool, executing my code, yeah, and when it's finished, it's going to, yeah, take the next work item, yeah, and run that on the thread. I think everybody knows that, yeah, your thread pool is limited. Yeah, you have, yeah, depending on the number of processors that you have, let's say, 20, 25, 30 threads in the thread pool. Yeah, what queue user work item is doing is, yeah, it's going to use those threads. And yeah, when all those threads are busy, it's just queuing your work items, yeah, until threads get available. Yeah. So by this, yeah, you can actually make use of your existing thread pool, but you have no direct influence on how many threads that I'm going to use. Now, anyhow, yeah, if we take this code into approach, let's switch back to the presentation. Yeah. What Microsoft did was they made they actually compared the performance between Parallel 4 and running things on a thread pool. I think the biggest difference that you see is, well, if you just have one processor is the same. From the moment the number of processors in your machine goes up, yeah, you will see that, well, the parallel library, yeah, will give you some advantage. Yeah. The more processors that you have, the bigger the advantage is. Yeah. And that's actually a thing that I want to show you in a couple of minutes. So, what is it then, that task library, yeah, this parallel thing what I'm talking about? Well, I told you already, Microsoft made a first wave of tools that you can use. Well, in their first wave, yeah, they created tasks, yeah, and they have a task scheduler. Now, under the covers, yeah, this works, of course, with existing technologies. Yeah. Tasks are scheduled on threads. From where are those threads coming? Well, they're coming from the thread pool. Yeah. So yes, indeed, you're just using the thread pool. Yeah. But Microsoft created some extra things around it. Yeah. They have an algorithm which is called hill climbing. Yeah. What it does is it's actually going to calculate for the processing of your tasks what the optimal number of threads is on your machine. Yeah. So they actually calculate how many threads should we use on that particular machine. Microsoft added as well some coordination and synchronization techniques around the existing thread pool implementation. Yeah? So you get that for free. And last but not least, yeah, they have a work stealing principle. Let me show you what happens. Yeah? Suppose that you have a main thread, yeah, your program, yeah, which is going to create some tasks which actually need to run in the back. Yeah? So I have my program thread. Yeah. What do I do from my program thread? I create a task. Let's say task one. I create a second task, task two. Yeah. The task scheduler from your parallel library, yeah, will actually create a couple of worker threads which are going to process those tasks. Yeah. The task scheduler will actually provide each worker thread which tasks that needs to be executed. Now, upon execution of these tasks, yeah, it's pretty possible that maybe by executing task 2, new tasks arise. I can imagine that task 2 creates a new task, task 3, a new task, task number 4, a new task, task number 5. What you should have seen already is that, well, I created with tasks on the main thread, which are distributed by the task scheduler. Yeah? So we have a global queue on our program thread, yeah, and well, after the distribution, you will see that tasks exist on the different worker threads, so they all have a queue, they have a local queue. And if, as a result of executing a task, new tasks are created, yeah, you will see that those new tasks are actually created on the local queue of the worker thread that is executing the task that creates those new tasks. So, okay. Let's move on in the process. Yeah. My worker thread works. At a certain point in time, task 2 is done. So this guy definitely needs new work. Now, which task is he going to take? Well, he will take task number 5. So yeah, not task number 3. Why this principle? Well, that's what we call work stealing. Yeah. The likeliness that the latest task that is created on that local queue is still in the cache is much, much bigger than that there is still data of task 3 in the cache available. Yeah? So we gain performance by actually taking the latest task from the queue than taking the oldest one. Yeah? So if any thread, any worker thread, takes a task which is situated on his own queue, he takes the last one. This is different, however, if my other worker thread finished task one and he needs work. If he needs work, he's going to first have a look at his local queue. Yeah. It can be that there is work on his queue, yeah, but it is, if there is nothing to do on his queue, what he's going to do is he's going to try to steal work from other worker threads. Yeah. We currently have task 3 and task 4 available on the local queue of worker thread 1. Yeah. What my second worker thread will do is he will steal task number 3. Again, why? Well, the likeliness that the data that belongs to task 3 is still in the cache is very, very low. Yeah? So it's better to steal something from another thread, which is probably not in his cache, yeah, and to load that data anyhow, yeah, than to steal something which is recently added on the queue of that thread, yeah, while yeah, the data is still in the cache, and so it would have been better to be processed by that thread itself. Yeah. So this is actually, yeah, let's say, the work-stealing algorithm that is around your task parallel computing library. Yeah. So let's dive into this a little bit deeper. What can you expect from your task parallel library? Well, you have a new API, yeah, which is based on tasks. Yeah. Tasks which you can create yourself. Yeah. So you can consider a task a bit like a thread, yeah, but it's a unit of work which is going to be executed. But you don't execute it on the thread. No, you pass it to the task scheduler. And it's the task scheduler which is going to provide that to any of those worker threads that can process it. Yeah? So this is actually the way of adding parallelism and concurrency to your applications. Now, I think this is the base scenario. Yeah? We can do better, yeah, because there exist better scenarios in that task parallel library. Yeah? What you have as well is you have parallel 4. Yeah? Parallel 4 is there for you to take an existing loop, a loop which has a start and an end. Yeah? You go from int I to the end index, yeah? And you process some work in that loop. Well, by means of parallel.4, yeah, you can take an existing loop and easily convert that into a loop which needs to be executed parallel. Yeah? When you have that for a for loop, yeah, of course it exists as well in for each loops. Yeah? So parallel for each exists as well. Yeah, we will see in a minute that we have overloads in there to actually look at the loop state, to actually stop or break loop execution. Yeah, we can work in there with thread local variables and so on and so on. Yeah, so that's for the parallel.4 and parallel.forEach stuff. What else do we have in there? Well, we have the parallel.invoke, yeah, which is a method that you can use to invoke any number of, let's say, tasks. What makes parallel.invoke special is that it actually takes a params array of tasks. So you can actually use this guy to start multiple tasks at the same time, yeah, and then it's up to the task scheduler to actually deal with those things. Yeah. So I suggest that we now look a little bit deeper at those technologies and just take them one after another and see what we can actually do with them and how we can improve our performance. So the first thing that we will do is we will look at parallel 4. And while I'm not going to go via the slides, yeah, I will do it code-based. Yeah, I think that's the easiest to show you. I will switch to my desktop in here. Come on. There we are. Yeah. So again, this program, yeah, instead of creating the threads myself, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use parallel 4. Yeah. Parallel 4, yeah, it exists in system.threading.tasks. Yeah. It's a method, yeah. And what this method takes is it takes your from inclusive, your to value exclusive, yeah. And then it takes actually an action int where you should specify the method that needs to be executed, yeah, as a task. Yeah. So action int, how does it look like? I will just take a go to definition on this. Yeah. So if I take action int, right click, go to definition, yeah, you will see that this is nothing more than a delegate. Yeah. It's a delegate that takes something of the type t, yeah, and it returns nothing, it's void. Yeah. So if I take this into my scenario, yeah, what I want to do is I want to calculate my primes between 2 and 4 million. Yeah. I can just implement that action int delegate by means of a lambda expression. A lambda expression that receives as input parameter, yeah, that integer. Yeah. And then inside, I just have my code, which just does the calculation for one number, whether it's a prime number, yes or no. Yeah. Realize that this piece of code is run in parallel. Yeah. It will result in multiple tasks. Yeah. Yeah. So you need to apply locking. Yeah. So if I want to write the result into a generic list of integers, yeah, I definitely need, of course, to lock that primes generic list. Yeah. Since I'm just using static methods in a static class, yeah, for my locking, I'm just using here a lock for the type of program. Yeah. If you want, of course, you can create a lock object of yourself. Yeah. But in this case, it's not really necessary. Yeah. So calc primes, yeah, executes this parallel 4, yeah, and then we just write at the end primes.count how many integers we found, yeah, and then we're going to measure a couple of things. So if I switch back to program.cs, I'm going to move my console.read line. Switch into this parallel 4, yeah, so I will put my console.read line over here now. Yeah, you will see that I'm going to call parallel 4.calc primes and measure how long it takes. Let's maybe take immediately the processor view in here so that we see how my CPU is behaving, and let's try to run this. F5. Come on, run. Yeah, so calc primes, we know already that it takes 2.6 seconds, 1.7 for the threading demo. Yeah, if I use parallel 4, I see an improvement. Yeah, let's say about 200 milliseconds. Yeah, you should have seen in here as well on my CPU. Yeah, that, well, the CPU usage was a bit higher. Yeah, so yes, we have an optimization. Yeah, it seems that two threads was not the most optimal scenario. I guess that parallel 4 probably used a couple of more threads. Yeah, we will look later on in this demonstration on how we can look at worker threads which are actually executing our code. Yeah, so but let's maybe first move on a bit. Yeah, so what I did was I used parallel 4. Yeah, I used parallel 4 to go from start to stop. Yeah, whether you want to use parallel 4 or parallel for each, I leave it up to you. So I'm going to show that as a second scenario as well. Yeah, what I could done as well, of course, is take parallel dot for each. Yeah, and yeah, just for each, and create tasks in my for each loop to just execute the same things as before. If you want to use parallel dot for each, yeah, the method looks a little bit different. Yeah, the biggest difference in there is, yeah, that you don't have, of course, a start and a stop index. Yeah, a parallel dot for each takes something of the type iNumberable, where for each is going to iterate over. Yeah, and during that iteration, for every item, he's going to execute what you provide as delegate over there. So my delegate is implemented by a lambda expression. Yeah, so same code as before. It takes the number. Yeah, so this is just one number between 2 and 4 million. And it's going to look whether it's a prime. If it's a prime, I'm just going to add that into primes generic list. Yeah. So this should give me more or less the same performance as the previous application. Yeah. Let's check it. If I move console.read line just below this block where I also execute, apart from parallel.for calc primes, parallel.forEach.calc primes, yeah, then we can compare those two things. Yeah. So if I run it, F5, yeah, we should see more or less the same performance. Yeah. So 1.7 for the threading, 1.4 for parallel 4, 1.5, well, it's nearly the same. Yeah, it's a difference of 15 milliseconds. Yeah. So that's the current improvement of what we have. Can we do more? Yeah, of course we can do more. Because, well, look at the current code. If I take this parallel 4, yeah, one thing that you should notice is I'm actually taking a lot of logs in here. Yeah. Realize that this piece of code is executed on worker threads. Yeah. I'm not going to have 4 million worker threads. Yeah. The parallel library is probably going to create me, let's say, 4, 5, maybe 10 worker threads. Yeah. So a lot of these tasks will actually be executed on the same worker threads. So what an improvement certainly can be is that log scenario in here, yeah, is only necessary on a per thread basis. Yeah. If you were to execute, let's say, 100 tasks sequentially on the same worker thread, yeah, then it doesn't make sense to apply locking around it, because yeah, you just do it sequentially on the same worker thread. Yeah. Well, that's actually the next improvement that I want to show you. Yeah. What Microsoft has built for you is a mechanism which is called thread local variables.
Nick, I'm sorry, I just received a very, very simple question.
Yes.
Is the all the demo you are doing here means yeah. that all the scenario is available somewhere for download? It's going to be there on your blogs or?
Yeah, it's currently not available yet, but indeed, I will put it on my blog, yeah, probably this evening or tomorrow morning
okay,
or something.
At the end of the session, we just record the address of your blog.
Yeah, indeed,
and
indeed.
This means that most of the demo you are doing here can be downloadable from your blog.
Yeah, my demo.
Maybe not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah, yeah. My demo actually consists of two solutions in Visual Studio, and indeed, I will share those on my blog.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So let's switch back over here. Yeah. So we know what parallel 4 is doing. Yeah. We're going to take parallel 4 with thread local variables. Yeah. What does this mean? Well, suppose that the task header creates yourself, let's consider 3 threads. Yeah. Well, per thread, we're going to create a local variable. Meaning that yeah, your thread can just write to that local variable without having to apply any locking around it. Yeah, because every code executed on that thread is sequential. Yeah. Of course, this suppose that you divide your 4 million calculations into 3 threads. At the end, of course, you have to accumulate things. Yeah. So what do we need to do? We have to first initialize local storage variables. Yeah, then we can actually run all the tasks which are going to store results. At the end, we will have the results of 3 different threads which we have to accumulate all together. Yeah. And that's what you currently see what happens in this for method thing here. Because look at the prototype of the method. Yeah, for takes a generic parameter called tlocal. Tlocal refers to the type of your local storage variable. Yeah. And how are things executed? Well, for takes, of course, a from inclusive value, a to inclusive value. Yeah. It's going to take a body part. The body is just a method that you're going to execute. But within that body, yeah, you can use a local variable of the type tlocal. Yeah, that's what you just specify as parameter on the method. Yeah. And you see that it takes 2 other delegates. Yeah. It takes a function local to actually initialize my local variable. Yeah. And it takes an action t local delegate, yeah, which is used to finalize, to actually accumulate all the results. Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe it sounds a bit Chinese at the moment, so let's immediately jump into the code, yeah, and see how we work with this. I'm going to take first a parallel 4 scenario with thread local variables. Yeah. So that's actually the code we're going to deal with. Yeah. So it's not that different with before. Yeah. It only takes a couple of extra lambda expressions. Yeah. Just have a look together with me. The result should be, I want to have a generic list of integers. All the prime numbers within the range to 4 million. So what are we going to do? We execute parallel 4. Yeah. So these are the from and the to. Now, my local storage variable, yeah, what I want to have is per thread, I want to create myself a generic list of integers, which should be empty, of course, yeah, because yeah, those threads are going to put prime numbers in there. Yeah. So this is my initialization method. My initialization method is just a lambda expression that creates an empty generic list of integers. Yeah. The body part of the method is this. Yeah. So if you look at the body, what is it doing? Yeah. It's a calculation on one number. Yeah. So it takes that number as a parameter. You get in here a parameter called loop, which is actually the loop state, yeah, which you can use, for example, to check whether you have to cancel yes or no. I'm not going to take that into account at the moment. Yeah. The other parameter in here is one I called list. What is this? This is a thread local variable. Yeah. This means that within this task, you have a variable called list, which is of the type, it's a generic list of integers, yeah, to which you can write. Yeah. So my code just becomes, yeah, if the program dot is prime number returns true, I know that I have a prime number, so I write the result into that list and I return that list. Realize this is just one task of those 4 million tasks. Eh? Yeah. So there is no locking around this. Yeah. Because yeah, the list is not the primes list, it's a thread local variable. It's a variable that exists per thread. Yeah? So if all the threads are finished, yeah, what do you have at the end? Several lists. Yeah? I don't want to have multiple lists, I want to have one list of primes. Yeah? So the finalizing stuff in there is just take another lambda expression, yeah, which takes as a parameter your list, yeah, to be added to the primes global list that you defined. Of course, you take data from multiple threads. Yeah. So this should have locking. Yeah. How many locks did you want in this situation? Well, in the previous situation, I had about 4 million lock statements in here. Yeah. In here, I just have as many lock statements as we have working threads. So at maximum, let's say 10 locks in concurrent. Yeah. So let's have a look at the result of running a thing like this. Yeah. So I'm going to call calc primes TLV and compare that with our previous method calc primes. So just one extra line to change. I'm switching the read line just below calc primes TLV. There it is. Yeah. And let's run the scenario. I'm going to remove a couple of read lines. F5. Yeah, so calc primes. Well, let's maybe compare parallel 4.calc primes. Took 1483 milliseconds. Yeah. Calc primes TLV took 1419 milliseconds. Yeah. Now maybe you're thinking, yeah, that's not that much that you gain in here. Yeah, of course, yeah, my calculation isn't that difficult either. But you see immediately, yeah, we actually have a, let's say, 60 milliseconds that we win in here. That's due to the fact that we have less locking to do. Yeah. So again, an optimization in here. By the way, this code scenario, which I just shown you on parallel 4 with thread local variables, exists as well on parallel.forEach. Yeah. If I take you to the same code, but then parallel.forEach, yeah, you will see something alike. Yeah. I have in here my forEach statement, yeah, which is going to iterate over a range. Yeah. So again, 4 million numbers. Yeah. And what it will do is, just like parallel 4, yeah, we're going to define in here a thread local variable parameter of the type list of integers. Yeah. My body calculation method Yeah, just takes that list as a parameter. Yeah, and can write to it without any locking. I have an initialization method which creates empty lists, and I have a finalization method which is going to add all the lists together into one list which I call primes. Yeah. So it's, we can compare it. It should actually give our much or performance alike with parallel 4. Let's just try it. I will move my read line a little bit below. There it is. Yeah. So we can now compare parallel.forEach and parallel 4 on thread local variables. Let's run it again. F5. Yeah, so 1.42, 1,522, which is, yeah, again, an improvement compared with the for each that we had before. Yeah, so my advice to you would be, yeah, if you can use thread local variables, please do so, yeah, because you save yourself a lot of locking. By the way, somebody asked already on the demos. Yeah, so yes, you do get my demos. You even get a little bit more from me, yeah, because on purpose I took different samples in my application than the ones that you currently see on the slides. So you actually get two samples from me. Yeah. So, well, let's maybe take this slide into account for a minute. So what do I have on the slides? Yeah. Instead of prime numbers, I just calculate totals on numbers. Yeah. So if you look at the implementation of parallel 4, what is it doing? Well, it's taking a range, numbers from 0 till 4 million. And what I'm going to do is calculate a total. Yeah. In a locking scenario, of course. So this is just the normal parallel 4, yeah, without thread local variables. If you compare it with the one with thread local variables, then you will see, yeah, I have an initialization, yeah, which makes the total equals to 0. I'm going to calculate subtotals in my body part, yeah, and the finalizing method is going to do nothing more than add all the totals together to calculate the complete total value at the end. Yeah. So by this you have an extra sample. By the way, yeah, I have the same for parallel.forEach, yeah, so everybody can download this, the slides. So I would say have a look at it. Yeah, it will help you to understand this topic a little bit more. Okay, a question that I often see is, yeah, handling exceptions in parallel loops. How do you do that? Well, the answer is actually rather simple. Yeah. How do you handle exceptions today in your threading applications? Well, since parallel computing works with threads from the thread pool, you should do just the same. Yeah. For people for which it's new, how do you do exception handling on multi-threaded applications? You catch the exception on the worker thread itself, of course, because an exception, yeah, just travels upon the call stack on your thread. Yeah, so you should catch it on that thread. What you can do, for example, is, yeah, if you want to have at the end an exception that aggregates all the exceptions that occurred in your task, is, I would advise you to write in your task just to try catch any exception and put them in a queue. Yeah, you have a good class for that which is called concurrent queue. Yeah, so you can make yourself a concurrent queue of exceptions. Yeah, enqueue all your exceptions in there. Yeah, and then if you want to have one aggregated exception which wraps them all, yeah, use the aggregate exception class, pass in there the exceptions queue, yeah, and you can just walk over all the exceptions that happened during the processing of your tasks. Okay. Some smaller topic in between, maybe. Yeah, I talked already that tasks as a type exist as well. Yeah, so instead of using the parallel.for, parallel.forEach, you can of course create your tasks yourself. Yeah, how do you do that? You just create a new task. Yeah, provide by means of a lambda expression a named delegate or an anonymous method, the method that needs to be executed as a task. You just call task.start. Or if you prefer to work with task.factory.startNew, that's also an option. This is a method that takes one, the lambda expression, and two, the data that you want to pass to that task. The benefit of creating tasks yourself is you have the option of creating continuation tasks yourself. Yeah. Look at this sample. Yeah. I can, for example, create myself a task. Yeah. Let's say a task that calculates the day of the week. Yeah. And then for this task, create a continuation task. Yeah. It's the syntax is just you take your task, continue with, it takes the results of the previous tasks, yeah, and just executes extra code on top of it. Yeah. So I currently have two tasks, one which I called task, the second one which I called continuation. Yeah. This means that if I just start the original task, well, the first task is executed, then followed by the continuation task. Yeah, and then you get to see the result at the end. Yeah. So I don't think this is rocket science, but I wanted to show you this in between. Okay, what we covered until now was parallel.for, parallel.forEach. We know how to build tasks. Yeah. I want to show you even an easier thing to work with parallelism, which is plink. Yeah. What you can do is take a link statement and make it run in parallel. Yeah. Then you have the parallel link implementation. Now, how do you do this? Well, for that, I want to come back to my application. Because I actually have written a link query which calculates the prime numbers from 2 to 4 million without writing any for loop or whatsoever. Yeah. So what do you do? Well, you just take from any number in your range. Yeah. So you can just use link to make a range of 4 million numbers. It's enumerable.range from your starting index to your stop index. Yeah. Then the statement is just where program.is prime number. Yeah, select that number. Yeah, I want to have as a result a list of integers that contains all the prime numbers. So I just do at the end a to list on it. Yeah. If I execute the code like this, it's of course running sequentially. Yeah. So this is running on one single thread. Yeah. So how do you make this running in parallel? Well, have a look at this code. Yeah. The only thing changed in comparison with the previous code is this. Yeah. You apply the extension method as parallel, yeah, your link query becomes parallelized. How does it work? Well, as parallel is an extension method which you can find back in the class system.link.parallelEnumerable. Yeah. You will see that as parallel over here is an extension method. It extends on IEnumerable tSource and returns something back of the type parallel query. This means that the rest of your link query, yeah, which is the where statement that I have over here, select statement, any ordering statement, or whatever that you want to execute, yeah, is of course executed by extension methods which come from the parallel enumerable implementation instead of the original enumerable which you have with link. Now what Microsoft did was, yeah, the implementation of plink is just the implementation of all these different extension methods that you find in here. Yeah. So yeah, actually I saved the easiest thing till the last, yeah, because you see that, well, making your thing running in parallel, yeah, you can just do that with this simple link statement. Yeah. I will show you this. I will go back to program.cs, move my console.readline, and execute both the link statements as well. Yeah. So I will run them both at once. Yeah. So the first one is calc primes, a sequential link query. The second one is calc primes, which is parallelized. Let's have a look at the result, F5. Yeah, so these calculations, we've seen them already a couple of times. But we're now interested in link, yeah, so there it is. Link demo.calc primes is sequentially, yeah. So it shouldn't surprise you that the result 2.7 seconds is the same as the original for loop which we started. Yeah. But have a look at plink 1.532. Yeah. which is more or less the same as parallel.for or parallel.forEach. Yeah. So you could have written this right away from the start, and your calculation is running in parallel. Yeah. So actually, for performance, I would say PLink is a bit comparable with parallel.for, parallel.forEach when it comes to performance. Yeah. The thread local variables, of course, is still a bit faster. Okay, apart from this, I think it's time to look at... Should switch back again to my presentation. How things are processed in here. You have pipeline processing, you have stop and go processing, you have inverted enumeration. What do I mean by this? Well, you write a link query, depending on how you walk over the results of that link query, your query will be handled differently. Yeah. If you, as a result of your link query, you write for each element in the result, show me that element, what it actually does is it does pipeline processing, meaning that the thread that is doing the enumeration, meaning the thread that is handling your for each statement, is completely separate with the threads that actually execute the query, so the threads that execute the tasks. This means as well that for each element in your query is syntactically the same as writing while move next and in your while loop get the item. What happens actually is when you fetch the first item, the complete execution of your query starts. And after that, you will iterate over all the other results. I'm going to try to show you this in a practical situation. I have in here a second demo application where I did, it's the same prime calculation stuff. But the only thing that I have different in here is, I have in here my calc primes method, so it's definitely running as parallel. I'm going to process the results by means of a for each loop. I'm going to write evil code in here, because I do for each item in the query, and after one iteration I'm going to call break. If you do that in normal programming, I mean something that is not running in parallel, you will break immediately out of the loop. Look at what happens when you do this with PLink. To show you this, what did I do? I have in here console.writeLine, which shows in the console the item which is calculated. And I have in the isPrime method, I have added in there one trace statement, which actually is going to trace into the debugger window the calculation of prime numbers. So if I run this, what happens is, I don't think you currently see my console application. I'm going to switch to my desktop. I run it again. F5. Yeah, this is better. What you should see is this output down here. Look, calculating. It's currently calculating prime numbers. While what is my code actually doing? I'm in this break. I will try to show it again by putting a breakpoint over here. If I run it, F5, my link statement. If I jump in the for each, if I press F10 once, now the calculation starts. Look, the calculation in the output is trying to calculate all the prime numbers, while in the for each loop, this break is not executed. What you're actually seeing here is that the first iteration on for each triggers the execution of the link query. It's executed, and until all the items are calculated, just after that, your for each will continue. So be a bit careful if you do things like this. You can't just break loops if you execute them as parallel. So what do you need to do then? You need to build the cancellation yourself. So if you want to cancel link queries, This is the code that you need. What you need to do is provide cancellation tokens. Look, the same query, yeah, which takes from number in range dot as parallel, yeah, dot with cancellation token. What you specify in there, a cancellation token source. Yeah. And if you then execute that link statement, yeah, either with a for each or a to list or whatever, yeah, I can call from any thread a cancel, yeah, and then the statement will be cancelled. So what did I do? I have in here that cancellation token. Yeah, what I'm going to do is on a separate task, so something that runs on a separate thread, I'm going to call cancel after a delay. I just take a random delay in here. I have something in between 750 milliseconds and 950 milliseconds. Yeah. And by the way, if you cancel a link query, you will get a operation cancelled exception in here. So let me show you this. I'm going to put a breakpoint in my catch statement. Start from program.cs. Yeah, so of course I shouldn't do this evil break statement anymore, but I'm going to do it the way it should be. So if I run it now, F5, yeah, my link statement is running, yeah, and after a piece in time, cancellation is called, yeah, you see in here that I reached my exception, yeah, which says the query has been cancelled via the token supplied with cancellation. That's how you actually should do it. Yeah. If you want to cancel link statements, yeah, you provide cancellation tokens. Okay. Stop debugging. I'm going to switch back to my presentation. Yeah. So we know already that we have pipeline processing. Yeah. That's every time that you have a for each statement or that you call move next to iterate over the results. Yeah. You have other mechanisms. Stop and go processing is one. Yeah, what happens over there is, well, the thread that actually starts the enumeration, yeah, the thread that calls to array, the thread that calls to list, for example, yeah, is going to just join all the other threads, meaning that it's going to call t.join all the threads that are used as worker threads for your parallel execution. Yeah. So when is this happening? Whenever you call to array, whenever you call to list, yeah, or yeah, if you write any sort in your query, yeah, because yeah, it doesn't make sense to do any pipeline processing, yeah, if there needs to be any sorting at the end. So I want to make you realize in here as well that yeah, executing things in parallel means that if you just execute a link query, you call to list to retrieve the results, they are not sorted by default. Yeah. If you want them sorted, you have to specify it. How do you specify that? I will first go to that slide. You have operators on parallel enumerable. Yeah? So we've seen already as parallel is there to parallelize your query. Yeah? If you want ordering, you have to call as ordered. Yeah? If you want cancellation, yeah, you call dot with cancellation. If you want to specify the maximum number of processors that can be used for processing that link query, you call dot with degree of parallelism. Yeah? If you want to provide any merge options on how the sequence should actually be merged on the consuming thread, you have a dot merge options in there. Yeah. So executing a link statement in parallel is a bit more than just calling dot as parallel, because you can actually configure a couple of things on it. Okay, yeah, so this is just an example of as ordered. Yeah, so it's just dot as parallel, dot as ordered, and then for each overall the item. So another sample of the cancellation token here. Yeah, maybe a couple of pitfalls very fast then. Yeah, I would say if you start working with things in parallel, yeah, make sure yeah, that you don't make the assumption that running things in parallel is always faster. Yeah, because don't forget, yeah, if you have to do locking, yeah, you introduce some overhead. So the unit of work that you parallelize should be big enough to actually gain performance on it. So try to avoid using shared memory, because you need locking. Try to avoid over-parallelization. Too many tasks result in bad performance. Yeah. try to avoid calls to non-thread safe methods, yeah, because you have to synchronize them. Yeah. So why? If it's not necessary to order things, don't. Yeah, because it takes again performance to actually take all the results and order them. Yeah. I would say prefer for all or for each when it's possible. Yeah. And another thing is be aware of thread affinity issues. Yeah. Threads executing on things executing on worker threads. Yeah. Yeah. From there you cannot update an UI, for example. Yeah. If you wanna in WPF write to a progress bar, you wanna write to a text box or whatever. Yeah, you can't do that from a task, yeah, because you there have thread affinity. So last but not least, yeah, extra support from Microsoft to actually debug those things. What do you have? You can debug parallel tasks. So you have a view for that. Well, I can maybe show that to you if I just take my application back again. Let's take the parallelism application. I'm going to run it. So F5. I don't think you see that much. I should take my desktop. So quickly switch content desktop. This will be better. Yeah, so let's run it, F5. Yeah, so I'm going to wait until I have some tasks. So the first two things don't do anything with tasks. But now it is. What I'm going to do is quickly debug break all. Yeah, so yeah, your software is doing something. If you want to monitor now, what do you have as options? Well, you have in here debug. If you go to the debug windows, you will find two new things. You have the option to look at parallel tasks. You have the option to look at parallel stacks. Yeah. So parallel tasks, yeah, shows you all the tasks. You can look at the tasks. You see which one are running. You see which one are scheduled. You can look at the location. If you double click on it, it just jumps into the code where this method is executed. And you see in here on which threads these things are running. You can even look at a little bit more. If you take in here debug, windows, parallel stacks. Yeah, and that's something that I really like. Yeah. What you get to see in here now is actually you see all your threads at the same time, and for all those threads you see the call stacks, meaning that if I now just switch to another thread, yeah, I can just see what this thread is doing by looking at parallel stacks. This is a thing Microsoft made to make debugging of parallel stuff easier. Of course, this is something that you can use as well in your normal day as a developer, because yeah, you can now, by means of parallel stacks, look at the different stacks of different threads at the same time. If you double click on a method, yeah, you jump immediately in the code and you can have a look at the state of all the variables for that particular thread. Okay, David.
Yes, sir.
I think we've covered the most important things.
Okay, thank you, Nick. This webcast about this very interesting features, because it's really strategic.
It is.
Because today, as you explained, today most of the hardware are focusing on multi-core, are focusing on parallel programming. Mm-hmm. And it's a fact. We are able to develop, and it's fully integrated with .NET 4 and with Visual Studio 2010. And thus, we need to be sure that we understand this concept and use it. Because if we really want to take all the power from the new hardware we receive now, it's the only way.
It is, and yeah. Look, a couple of years later, yeah, you will definitely have many cores.
And it looks really easy to integrate this concept,
yep.
But also all the trap and all the bugs that you can have are also specific to parallel programming. Well, I hope that now most of you have understand this concept. If you have more question about that, you will be present at Tech Days also.
Indeed.
You can come there and ask your question. I know that also we will have some specific session on .NET 4 and the tools there as well. Thank you for your attention, and I wish you all a very, very pleasant day. And
I would just want to show one extra thing, which is the location of my blog again. Yeah, okay. Because otherwise they're not going to find the samples.
That's true.
So I'm actually rewinding the presentation a bit. There it is. You can. So from tomorrow, I guess, blogs.utu.be/nick.